It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and thank you for joining me today for the program. We call this Fresh Oil because David said in Psalm 92:10, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." It was so important every day to be anointed with God's fresh touch of His Spirit. And that's what we desire the program to be here on Fresh Oil. Every day I share a message from my heart that I just pray will touch you. And I believe in the sovereignty of God and His providence that you just happened to tune in today. And I believe we're going to share a word that'll minister to you today. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is found in Luke 7. It's the story of the centurion who came to ask Jesus to help his sick servant. And it begins in verse 1 by saying, "When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and there was a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus, and he sent some elders of the Jews to ask him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him." Now listen to what they say. "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now look at verse 9. "When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, 'I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel.' And then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well." What an amazing story. Jesus has just finished teaching his most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. He's walking back to his hometown, which at that time was Capernaum. Now, do you remember what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount? That's where he taught words like, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other one also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic." You see, a lot of the teaching he did on that mountain was to train his followers on how to deal with the Romans, who were occupying Israel as a force at that time. Now, Roman law said that a soldier could grab a Jewish man and make him carry his backpack for 1 mile. And Jesus says, if he asks you to go 1 mile with him, go too. Now remember, it's almost as if the Father was allowing his words to be tested here now with the centurion. Verse 1 said, "When Jesus had finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and there a centurion servant whom the master valued highly was sick and about to die." Now Jesus is now going to show that what he taught was more than just words. He's going to show love to a Roman centurion. Wow. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, Jesus said to his followers, "I was only sent for the lost sheep of Israel." He didn't come for the Romans at that point. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. Paul will later bring the gospel of grace to the world, but Jesus primarily came then for the Jews. He died for all of our sins, but he was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. And that didn't include the Roman centurion or his servant. But Jesus would break his own rules and leave the norm to live out his own teaching of unconditional love. Now, before we get into this amazing miracle and the story behind it, let me just clarify for a moment what was a centurion. First of all, they were Romans. They were Gentiles. And they were in charge of at least 100 soldiers at their command in order to be called a centurion. They were a symbol of Rome's oppression of the Jews and the world at that time. I did a little research and I found out that centurions were forbidden by Roman law to be married and have a family because they were usually sent to foreign lands that Rome had conquered, and they could be sent there for as long as 20 years. They would not be very affectionate. If they had a family to worry about back home, it would be hard for them, so they were single. Therefore, their servants were very close to them, and they viewed them like their own family. This may explain why this man was so desperate that he enlisted the aid of some Jewish elders to come and appeal to Jesus to heal his servant that he dearly loved. Now, there are a couple of strange things about this story. First of all, the fact that this centurion had friends who were Jewish elders, that certainly was not the norm, which meant he was probably not normal for a centurion. Notice this guy got the attention of Jesus. He's not a religious man. He's not even a Jew. He was most likely raised to serve pagan gods. He wasn't a pastor or a priest. And yet we see in this story, Jesus stops what he's doing and he heads towards the centurion's home there in Capernaum. I've been there many times on my 31 trips to Israel. Verse 9 just blew me away, though. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in all of Israel." See, the man said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. If you just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed." And Jesus was so amazed by what he heard, he said, "I tell you, I've not found this kind of faith in all of Israel." Jesus was amazed at the faith of the centurion. Oh, I remember one other time when Jesus was amazed, because you don't find that very often, where God's amazed. God amazes us, but this is, God was amazed. Mark chapter 6 was another one where he was amazed and doesn't have quite as good of a ending. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, Mark 6 verse 1, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, now listen to what Jesus says, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And the Bible says this, "He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." You see, friend, here in Mark 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. The story of the centurion, he was amazed that he just witnessed the greatest faith that he had seen in all of Israel. See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Friend, if you get your eyes on people, you're going to be disappointed. If you get your eyes on people, they will let you down. But if you fix your eyes on Jesus, he will build your faith. He will cause your faith to grow. In other words, it says this, "He's the author and perfecter of my faith." So he's writing my life story. He's the author, and it's not done yet. He's the author and perfecter of my faith. Are you in need of a miraculous touch today? Do you know God's looking for people who'll just trust him? He's looking for people who will just have faith and believe him and take him at his promises. I love 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God's eyes are searching the earth today. He's not looking for perfect people, but he's looking for people who will fix their eyes upon him. People who will have faith and take his word and believe his word. Perhaps you're in the middle of a desperate situation today, just like the centurion. You know, Charles Blondin was a French tightrope walker, and he was an acrobat. He toured the United States in the mid-1800s, and he was best known for crossing Niagara Falls, usually without a safety net. He did it many times in different ways. He went across blindfolded, in a sack. He went across on stilts, and even sitting down to make and eat an omelet. Probably his most daring feat was when he pushed a wheelbarrow loaded with a heavy sack of concrete across the wire. With all that weight, the slightest overbalance could wrench the wheelbarrow out of his hands or twist him off the wire and into the falls. But Blondin, he was the ultimate showman. He was the master of the high wire. He regularly took that wheelbarrow all across the falls without any issues. One day, Blondin was asked by an impressive reporter, "Do you believe I can do anything on a tightrope?" "Oh, yes, Mr. Blondin," said the reporter. "After what I've seen today, I believe it. You can do anything." "Do you believe then," said Blondin, "that instead of a sack of cement, I could put a man in this wheelbarrow, a man who's never been on a tightrope before, and wheel him without a safety net safely over to the other side?" "Oh, yes, Mr. Blondin," said the reporter. "I believe it." "Good," said Blondin. "Get in." Well, see, friend, it's one thing to express belief. It's an entirely different thing to get in the wheelbarrow. You see, faith is an action word. It's a word of doing and not just saying. It's a decision of action and trust. And faith is always placed in something or some person as the foundation of your faith. I believe God is saying to us today, get in, have faith in God, and nothing shall be impossible for you. I don't know what you're going through today, my friend. Perhaps you're going through some sickness in your body. I'm praying today that God will touch you. I'm praying today that God will heal your body and God will strengthen you. I believe today God is saying, get in the wheelbarrow. Trust me. Put your life in my hands and give your future to me. Maybe you're having a financial difficulty in your life and you're saying, you know, Keith, I'm really struggling to just even pay my bills, much less get ahead. You know, we're living in a time where inflation has really made it difficult on the average family. Friend, I want to tell you something today. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Man, I remember a time when my wife and I were struggling in the early years of our marriage to pay our bills. I was working as a pastor, having a very small salary. My wife was a nurse, and we had student loans that we had to pay for her. One day I told her, I said, "I just need a miracle." I'll never forget. Went to the mailbox that day, and she received a note from the Connecticut Student Loan Foundation, and it was an application for forgiveness of the interest on her student loan. I really didn't think anything would happen, but we sat down and filled out the paper. And then one day we got a check, and along with that check was a letter, and it said, "So few people paid back their student loans. We've decided to forgive the interest on those who actually paid their student loans." And here was a check for hundreds of dollars that came back right when we needed it, right after I had said, "God, I truly need a miracle for you to take care of my finances." Friend, today, I want you to know something. God hears you when you pray. Whatever you're going through today, turn to him, ask him, and I believe with all of my heart, he will bless you. He will bring deliverance for you. If you need healing for your body, he's the great healer, and he can do it for you. He does it, and he cares about you, my friend. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil, Walk in Grace. God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.